Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am excited because we are going to now complete the book of Job. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before I get started, I want to personally take this time to thank all of those of you who are out there that give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I'm using. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ or God? God said through Isaiah the prophet, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in the judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And that's taken from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. My precious brothers and sisters, the promise is that you will prosper, that no weapon formed shall prosper against thee if you stay focused and you commit yourself to God. God said again through King David, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's taken from Psalms 119, verse 165. And again, my precious brothers and sisters, the promise is great peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. And the only way you get there is through making sure you keep God's law. God said again through Moses, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. That's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. My brothers and sisters, this promise is something that we should all want. If we hold true to the commandments of God, that we will be set in a different place when we are confronted, and we will be protected by God. Now, the question for this hour is, and as it always is, are we standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, as I always do, I must let you know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols, just to mention a few. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. My brothers and sisters, that's why we are here this evening, to study and learn together. Okay, let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources to Job chapter 39. We're going to be looking at verse 1, 2, 22, 26, and 27. And what I want you to do, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the instructions to you, I want you to keep in mind this particular instruction, or as I read the text to you. God declares his prowess to us. Now, we're without excuse, because God lets us know inwardly when we're doing right, when we're doing wrong. And even if you will not respond to what your insight is giving you alert to, still, we are held accountable. And so that's part of God's prowess. That's his ability over his creation. Listen to what he told Job about this in verse 1 and 2 in chapter 39. He said to Job, "Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or can thou mark when the hinds do calve? Can thou number the months that they be fulfilled? Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth?" Continuing with verse 19 and 22, he says, "Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Can thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible." 26 and 27 completes the thought. "Does the hawk fly by thy wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high?" My precious brothers and sisters, this is what Job is being told by God. So God is giving him an understanding of God's preeminence over not only him, but all of God's creation. Now let's go to Psalms 135, and even King David continues by telling us this. Israel was told this in verse 5 through 10. "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that he did in heaven and in earth and in the seas and in deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasures. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast? Who sent tokens and wisdom into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all of his servants? Who smote great nations and smote and slew many kings?" So again, Israel is being rehearsed by King David, letting them know that God is the one that is omnipotent in all the earth. And this, now we're going to go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to see how Jesus put it today. Mark chapter 4, verse 37 through 41. And this is how Jesus put it in Mark chapter 4, verse 37. "And there rose a great storm of wind, and the wave beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awaked him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind should obey him? And again, God, Jesus Christ, is showing his prowess to his apostles. Now, I see we're at the first break. Let's take this break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Through prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is not sending God to run on your errands. A Christian can see more on his knees than he can from his feet. You can see more clearly on your knees than you can in the Tower of America's on your feet. Prayer is not getting God prepared to do your will. Prayer is getting you prepared to do God's will. Prayer is the only way to release the supernatural power of God in your life, in your marriage, in your business, to show you great and mighty things that you know not. Prayer is the key that unlocks the gates of heaven and closes the gates of hell. Prayer has the power to cure sickness and disease. Prayer can shatter the shackles of misery and habit that are tormenting your life or the life of your son or daughter or the life of your husband or wife. Prayer does not need proof. Prayer needs practice. Prayer is the weapon that God has given his children to wage war in the heavenlies. Church of Jesus Christ, stop whining about the attacks on your life by the prince of darkness and put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6. Attack and then attack again and then attack again and crush him and drive him out of your life, because Satan is a defeated foe. Christ has given you the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You are a child of God, and the royal blood of heaven is flowing in your veins. You are destined to be more than a conqueror through Christ. Think like it, act like it, and talk like it every day of your life. If your marriage is under attack, pray. If your children are being tormented by the prince of darkness, pray. If your business is failing, pray. If you're fighting a deadly disease, pray. If you're lost and without God, pray. If your life is empty, if it's meaningless, if it seems to be hopeless, pray. Pray, pray, because God answers prayer. Elijah prayed, and forked tongues of fire laced across the heavens and consumed the sacrifice soaked with 12 barrels of water. Hezekiah prayed, and I'm talking about Old Testament prayer right now. Hezekiah prayed, and 185,000 Assyrians that surrounded Jerusalem, promising to slaughter every Jew in the sacred city the next morning, Hezekiah rolled out the letter that General Sennacherib had sent to him, mocking his God and mocking the people of Israel. He pulled out his secret weapon, prayer. He laid that letter before the Lord and said, God, your honor is at stake. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Your word says, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. And that night, the death angel from heaven came and swept through the camp of the Assyrians. He smote the sentry standing at his post. He smote the infantry slumbering in their tents. He smote the generals as they made their battle plans to destroy the sacred city. The next morning, when Hezekiah looked over the sacred walls of the city of Jerusalem by the dawn's early light, he saw 185,000 dead men, because the angel of God God passed by that night. Why? Because one man knew how to pray. He stopped an army and turned the destiny of a nation around, and you can too. Why pray?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete. This is the first instruction. God declares his prowess to us, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God is the author and finisher of our faith. He is our eternal salvation, and he is our Redeemer and Savior. He orders, and it directs our steps. We must remember all of these features, and that is telling us about God's prowess over us. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go to Job chapter 40 this time, and we're going to look at Job chapter 40, verse 1 through 5. And again, this is God giving Job an understanding of his omnipotence, if you will. And this is what the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Who can contend with God? Again, this is Job getting direct assault from God because of Job's self-righteousness. Listen what God tells Job in chapter 40, verse 1 through 5. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproved God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins like a man, and I will demand of you, and declare thou unto me. Now again, this is God showing to Job directly what ability he has over his creation. Let's go now to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we're going to look at verse 39 through 42. And listen to what God, through Moses, rehearsed to Israel. Listen to what God said concerning his omnipotence. This is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39 through 42. See now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver thee out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to the heavens and say, I live forever. If I wilt my glistening sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and with the captives, and from the beginning the revenge upon all my enemies. My precious brothers and sisters, you can see that God is letting Israel know through Moses that he is the one that is in control of all. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 43 just to get another understanding of this. And this is what the prophet says to Israel in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 through 13. Listen to what Isaiah tells us. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord God Almighty. I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? My precious brothers and sisters, again, through the prophet, who can contend with God? Now let's go to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to see what God has to say, or what Paul has to tell the Romans about contending with God and how God's prowess works. This is Romans chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 31. We're going to read several verses. Listen to how this is put. Listen to how this is put, my precious brothers and sisters. Paul says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Then we'll go to verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Verse 35 continues. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then 37 through 39 completes the thought. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My precious brothers and sisters, who can contend with God? No one. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God is the potter and we are the clay. God is the creator and we are the created. There is no contentions or challenge. My precious brothers, that's what I want you, and sisters, that's what I want you to understand about this instruction. Now let's go back to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Job chapter 40, and we're going to look at verse 6 through 13. Job chapter 40, verse 6 through 13. And what I want you to do is listen to, again, the instruction that is put before us. And I see we're at our second break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the instruction.
I can. I can is a phrase that we need to permanently remove from our vocabulary. In life, there's no perfect person. There are no perfect set of circumstances. All of us have areas of our lives that are less than perfect. Yet there are some that, despite their disability, find a way to do what others say they can't do. Moses was a stutterer. Isaac was blind. Mephibosheth had crippled legs. In our modern world, Albert Einstein, the mathematician, physicist, had a learning disability. He didn't speak until he was 3 years old. Yet he overcame these challenges to be known as one of the brightest men of our times. Alexander Graham Bell, Walt Disney, and George Washington all had learning disabilities. Yet they led, created, and inspired. Ludwig van Beethoven is the greatest composer and musician, and yet he was deaf. Helen Keller, who devoted her life to persons with disabilities, she was blind, deaf, and mute. What excuses are you using in your life? What things are you saying I can't do when you really could be saying I can? Get it. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, turn your Bible sources with me to Job chapter 40. We're going to be looking at verse 6 through 13. And as I read the text to you, listen, this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to. Do not contest God. That is something that even though we have, through Jesus Christ, this mechanism that we can discuss things with God and we can inquire, you got to be careful. There's a line that we should not cross, and that is contestation. We cannot tell God like maybe Jonah, the prophet, the example where Jonah ran from God because he didn't want to do what God instructed him to do. And there are other instances in the Bible that gives us example of basically the same, that God is the one that is in control of what we are called to do. And that is something that we must be careful how we respond to God in trying not to complete his commandments. So we're looking at Job chapter 40, verse 6 through 13. Listen to what he told Job. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up your loins like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. We mentioned this earlier in the last instruction. Listen to the completed in thought. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou command me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency. Array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold every one that is proud, and abase him. Look on every one that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. God is giving Job a thorough slashing, you might say, of his contempt, because Job's self-righteousness was contending with God. And, of course, we know that you must be meek with God. You can't be self-righteous. Self-righteousness is pride. And pride is what has gotten all of us into trouble. And it started with Adam and Eve. In fact, it started with Satan. And so we know because of that, pride is detestable with God. So this is how he addressed it. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 45, and we're going to see how Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5 through 11, giving us kind of similar information. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5 through 10. Isaiah said, thy arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above his fellows. All thy garments smell of the myrrh and alloy, and out of the ivory places whereby thou hast. And I am not reading what I identified. This is not Isaiah. I am incorrect. Let me turn it to Isaiah, and it's Isaiah chapter 45. That was a reading from Psalms, and I apologize. Now, this is what I'm trying to indicate, no contestation with God. It's Isaiah chapter 45, and it's verse 5 through 11. Listen to what the prophet said. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that thou may know from the rising of the sun, from the west, and there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all of these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour out righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have caused this, and woe unto him that striveth with his master. Let the potship strive with the potships of the earth. Small the clay shall say to him that fashioned it. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, why makest thou, or why work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his maker, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Again, God is telling Job that you can't contest with God. And if you do, it's going to cause you problems. Now let's go to the New Testament compliment. We're going to see how in the New Testament, what the writer says in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 34 through 39. The book of Acts, chapter 5, 34 through 39. Listen to what was said concerning this and the power of God. And we should be careful how do we approach God. This is what Gamaliel said. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theodos, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all, even as much as obeyed him, were dispersed. My precious brothers and sisters, he continued and said, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And that's what Gamaliel told the Sanhedrin when they wanted to stop the apostles from doing what they were doing. If this is of God, you can't contest. And that's the bottom line. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God is the ultimate in anything. Careful how you approach him. My precious brothers and sisters, that's what I leave you with in this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back to Job chapter 41. We're going to be looking at verse 9 through 11. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. God declares his omnipotence. Okay, all of this instruction is focused on Job and God telling Job why he should be obeisant to God. And this is what Job was told by God in Job chapter 41, verse 9 through 11. And remember, this is the instruction. God declares his omnipotence to Job. Okay, behold, God said, the hope of man is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before him? Who hath prevented him that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the heaven is mine. That's what God declared. And so that's telling us, or telling Job, that God has all the power. And so now we're going to go to Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalms 50. And this is where I read earlier by mistake. Look at Psalms 50, verse 7 through 12. And listen how David rehearsed it to Israel. Hear, O my people, I will speak, O Israel, and will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings that have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goat out of thy fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountain, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. If the world is mine and the fullness thereof. My precious brothers and sisters, there is God making his declaration that all is belonging to God. And this is very significant. Now turn with me to the New Testament complement. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. And I see we're at our next break. Let's take our break, and then we'll come back and
for somebody going through tough times, for somebody struggling just to keep your head above water. You're trying, but things don't seem to be quite working out the way you planned. You thought you'd be in a different place at this season in your life, but you're still suffering.
You have no say-so in what happens to you. But you have a say-so in what you do about it. You have a determining voice into where your life can go. See, life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% what you do about it. You get a setback. You get thrown off court. You lost your mama. That's dirt. But show me something that has grown into something beautiful that didn't have no dirt on it. You need dirt on you to develop, because dirt ain't just dirt. Dirt is fertilizer. Dirt is nutrient. Dirt gives you the strength for your seed to push through. You got to have dirt on you to push through something. Everything you see that's beautiful starts out as a seed, but that seed got to get dirt on it. You got to have dirt on you to grow into what life got for you.
The only thing I want from you is that every single day when uncertainty creeps in, I need you to get up and I need you to go heavy on it. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of adversity, when you taste a little bit of blood and something happens that you didn't expect to happen, I need you to go heavy on it.
You gotta be willing to go after your hiccups. You gotta be willing to go after whatever has got your name on it. Sometimes you gotta fight your way over. Sometimes you gotta fight your way through. Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say, listen, I ain't got nobody else to encourage us right now. It's just me and you. But I'm telling you, you're the head and not the tail. And I'm fighting for me, or my house, or my children, or my brothers, or my sisters, or my husband, or my vision, or my dream. I'm gonna stand right here, and I ain't giving up my children. I'm not giving up my money. No, stand it. You can't keep quitting your whole life. You can't keep backing up, and you can't keep fainting, taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. After a while, there ought to be something in our life that we stand through. Sicknesses that you stood through, struggles that you stood through, weaknesses that you stood through, crises that you stood through, pressures that you stood through. That is where character is developed. That's what defines our destiny when you are in the middle of transition.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete this particular instruction. God declares his omnipotence. So he's telling Job in Job chapter 41, 9 through 11, just how powerful he is. And listen to how it was put to the Zebedee's twins. From Jesus Christ, meaning James and John. And this is Matthew chapter 20, verse 22-23. Listen to what Jesus told them, or how the incident came to pass, and how Jesus identified the omnipotence of God in the dialogue. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these two of my sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We are able. And he says unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. My brothers and sisters, there again, Jesus is identifying and acknowledging the omnipotence of God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually, that God controls life, period. Whatever it is, he is in control. He is either the perpetrator, if you want to say it mildly, he is the orchestrator, or he is the director, and he is the controller. And that's what you should understand. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to the next instruction. We're going to look at Job chapter 42 this time, and we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 6. And what I want you to do is take in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. Repentance receives God's forgiveness. Now, there is something that God has always responded to, and that is the petition for those who are returning to him from disobedience. He will always respond to that. Now, this is what Job chapter 42, verse 1 through 6 tells us in this instance. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, please. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhorred myself, and repent in dust and ashes. So Job himself asked God for forgiveness because of his self-righteousness, which he realized that God did not approve of. And this is to show even more so how repentance is significant with God. Even in the instance of God repenting, you might say, himself, if you will, that he is willing to forgive. In fact, we know that the scripture teaches us in Hosea, God said to the prophet, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. That mercy is forgiveness. And listen to what he did in Genesis chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. This is what God said. And the Lord said, I will destroy whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. He was sorry that he had made his creation. Listen to what he did, though. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that tells us that God gave favor, meaning he forgave man through Noah to let man continue to live. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to see how it is explained in the New Testament. Jesus is speaking, and Jesus is saying this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Listen to what Jesus says about repentance. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Again, Jesus is telling us the good news. This is considered the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So again, if you look further into Matthew, it'll tell you that Jesus tells everyone to see what this means. The Lord God said through the prophet, and it was Hosea he was referring to, that I desire mercy and not sacrifice. That tells us, my brothers and sisters, how important it is for repentance to be a part of your activity. Listen to, now this is what I want you to keep in mind. Spiritually, this is what it should mean to us, that our repentance from God is Jesus Christ, and only through him is forgiveness for our sins. So we, outside of Jesus Christ, have no repentance. That's the key. And Jesus tells us that we should repent, ask God to forgive us of our sins. Okay, so now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Job chapter 42, and we're going to look at verse 7. We're going to look at just one verse at a time. Job chapter 42, verse 7, and listen to what it says. And it was so. In fact, the instruction is beware of how you treat one another. All right, this is very significant. Look what, this is what God did in Job chapter 42, verse 7. And it was so that after the words had been spoken unto Job, that the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things that are right, as my servant Job hath. All right, so beware of how ye treat one another. Bildad, Zophar, and Elihu, Eliphaz, not Elihu, Eliphaz. He was part of the three, the adults that were considered Job's friends that actually were trying to convict Job of sin against God, and they could not do that. And you can see, again, how when this instruction says, beware of how you treat one another, we know that judge not that ye be judged not. And that's key. And Jesus gave us that information, or that the commandment, when he came in with the New Testament. Okay, I see that we're at our last break for this evening. Let's take the break and then we'll continue with the lesson.
For somebody going through tough times, for somebody struggling just to keep your head above water, you're trying, but things don't seem to be quite working out the way you planned. You thought you'd be in a different place at this season in your life, but you're still suffering. You have no say-so in what happens to you, but you have a say-so in what you do about it. You have a determining voice into where your life can go. See, life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% what you do about it. You get a setback. You get thrown off course. You lost your mama. That's dirt. But show me something that has grown into something beautiful that didn't have no dirt on it. You need dirt on you to develop, because dirt ain't just dirt. Dirt is fertilizer. Dirt is nutrient. Dirt gives you the strength for your seed to push through. You gotta have dirt on you to push through something. Everything you see that's beautiful starts out as a seed, but that seed got to get dirt on it. You got to have dirt on you to grow into what life got for you.
The only thing I want from you is that every single day, when uncertainty creeps in, I need you to get up and I need you to go heavy on it. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of adversity, when you taste a little bit of blood and something happens that you didn't expect to happen, I need you to go heavy on it.
You gotta be willing to go after your maker. You gotta be willing to go after what whatever has got your name on it. Sometimes you gotta fight your way over. Sometimes you gotta fight your way through. Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say, listen, I ain't got nobody else to encourage us right now. It's just me and you. But I'm telling you, you're the head and not the tail. And I'm fighting for me, or my house, or my children, or my brothers, or my sisters, or my husband, or my vision, or my dream. I'm gonna stand right here, and I ain't giving up my children. I'm not giving up my money. No, stand. You can't keep quitting your whole life. You can't keep backing up, and you can't keep fading, taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. After a while, there ought to be something in our life that we stand through. Sicknesses that you stood through, struggles that you stood through, weaknesses that you stood through, crises that you stood through, pressures that you stood through. That is where character is developed. That's what defines our destiny. When you are in the middle of transition.
How many of you know the impossible doesn't intimidate God? God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or your boldest prayers. He's offended by anything less.
God will hear your prayer. He will move heaven and earth on your behalf. Mountains will be moved out of the way. So when we come to God, we come boldly. Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we come to you in prayer today, and we believe.
Don't forget to pray, but don't be ashamed to pray. And don't be too proud to pray. Prayer changes things. I don't care how dark it looked for you. I don't care what they done said to you. I don't care what the verdict is. I don't care what the haters say. Prayer changes things.
God is honored when we come to Him. He's honored when we talk to Him. And He's willing to hear and answer our prayer. He says, call unto me. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. If He can part the Red Sea, knock down the walls of Jericho, and if He can give us the Ten Commandments, He can answer any prayer we pray that fits His will and His plan for our life.
We must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has trusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and bring His power down to earth. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God. God is ready to act if we'll be bold enough to ask.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, the instruction, beware of how we treat one another. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says about it in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And then in Matthew chapter 25, it gives us more explicit instructions through this parable. Jesus says, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 through 40, and this is pertaining to treating one another. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And listen, my precious brothers and sisters, and the king said and answered unto them, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, Insomuch as ye have done this unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done this unto me. My precious brothers and sisters, that's significant. We must look out for one another. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we are all created by the same God, and God demands we care one for another. Remember in the garden when God questioned Cain about his brother and whereabouts, and Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? That's when it kicked into gear. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. Okay, let's go to the last instruction for tonight. In completing this book of Job, we're going to look at Job chapter 42, verse 10 through 12. Job chapter 42, verse 10 through 12. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Praying for one another has benefits. This is key. And our commercials have indicated how important prayer is. Listen to what Job chapter 42, verse 10 through 12 says. And the Lord turned to the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all of his brethren and his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before. And all did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one a gold earring. Now, my brothers and sisters, that is what prayer can do. Now, let's go to the New Testament complement. We're going to go to James quickly, and let's look at James chapter 5. And this is how James puts it in James chapter 5, verse 15 through 20. And the prayer of faith shall have saved the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that they may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it completes the thought. Elijah was a man subjected to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Of course, Elisha did the same thing. Listen to what verse 19 says. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Prayer accomplishes that, my precious brothers and sisters. That's what it does. And the Old Testament in chapter 2, or 2 Kings, verse 6, 17 and 18, it gives an example of prayer again, where Elisha prayed and said, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw and beheld. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And the Lord smote them with blindness, according to the words of Elisha. So again, that tells us the significance of prayer. And this is what it means to us, should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that praying is the most essential way to communicate with God. My precious brothers and sisters, that ends the lesson for this evening. And it also ends the book of Job. And we should be happy that we've completed this study. And next time we meet, we'll go into another study, into another book. And so now this completes the lesson for this evening. And we are about to sign off. So the host and I would like to thank you and bless you again for your participation and your encouragement. We also thank you for allowing us to take a break for about a month, and we're back on the air. And now I say to those listening out there, God bless and good night.
Yeah.
for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Please join us every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I hope you are blessed by our program. Good night.